And let's take our Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, right in the center of the book. Proverbs chapter 3. The Lord kind of led me to this text as I was studying and praying this week and was doing our reading. I hope you're doing the reading, following along with that each day, getting time in the Word of God. We average about 3 chapters a day. And if you haven't done that, start now. It's in the bulletin. And you can follow along. We're in Proverbs right now. And just get fed from the Word every day, especially if you don't have a regular study you're doing. But we were in Proverbs 3 earlier in the week. And as I started to read through that, a certain part of the chapter caught my eye. So before we get into that, before we talk about, and it's interesting because we always try to be open about the leading of the Holy Spirit, and Adam didn't plan on getting up and saying that this morning, but some of the things that he mentioned are exactly what we're going to study. Isn't it cool how the Lord works, preparing our hearts for that? So I want to ask you 2 questions right at the outset. Hopefully these will get your mind thinking. I want to encourage you to take some notes this morning so you can kind of review throughout the week and see how the Lord's teaching you. But the first question is, and I think we can all relate to this, what's causing you the most stress today? What's got you worked up? What if we thought about it for more than a couple of minutes would get you feeling a little bit anxious and tense? Maybe it's finances. Adam mentioned that one. Or relationships, or your job, or your health. When you think about it, and you tried to get away from that this morning, right? Why am I doing this? Because you walked in, you're like, I want to get in the presence of the Lord, and we had a beautiful time of worship, and I'm not thinking about that, Paul, so why are you bringing it back up? There is a point. So what is the most stressful thing in your life this morning? And then the second question is, what do you think would ease your mind of that stress? What would relieve you? What would take some of the burden off of you? Now, based on question one, our answer probably falls into generally 1 of 4 categories. I need more money. Anybody in the room need more money this morning? You tired of living paycheck to paycheck? You tired of the debt accumulating because inflation is so terrible? Maybe you need a family that's more unified and walking with the Lord because it's broken and fractured and people are doing their own thing and kids are away from the Lord. Maybe that's the source of stress for you and the source of sadness this morning. Or maybe you'd like a job that's more stable and more enjoyable. You know, 80% of people hate their jobs, which means most of us in this room. I don't. I love my job, just for the record, okay? Love my job. Some days, but no, I love my job. But 8 out of 10 of us don't. 8 out of 10 of us are not looking forward to going to work tomorrow, whatever we have to do. We're kind of dreading it. So maybe you'd like a job that's more stable and enjoyable. Or maybe you need health. Your health is not perfect, and you'd love to be free of illness and not taking any pills and not having any pain, even mental health. You just wish you were in a better place in terms of your mental health. Now, how much would it be worth to you to get those things resolved? How much would it relieve your stress and your anxiety and give you peace and contentment if somebody could just make that happen right now? Maybe they handed you $1 billion. That'd be nice, right? Or maybe they counseled everybody really effectively so your family was more unified and people were loving and forgiving and sacrificial. Or maybe you need to be the boss. How many want to be the boss this morning? My boss does not know what he's doing. I want to be the boss. Or what if you just had a permanent cure? What if you didn't have to keep going back to the doctor and keep thinking about that and paying so much money for medicine? Would that make it better? Wouldn't hurt, right? You handed me $1 million. I'd like to just try being a billionaire for a couple days, right? Are you with me on this one? Just try it. Test it out. I mean, wouldn't that relieve the stress when the mail comes and all the bills are coming in and you're going, how are we going to pay for this? But what if I told you this morning that none of those is the best answer? If there's something far more valuable that would actually give us real security and joy and fulfillment. And this passage, Proverbs 3, tells us what it is, and I think the answer will surprise us. What we really need is wisdom. And you go, come on, Rhodes. Really? Wisdom? This is a great need in the time we live in. So many lies, right? So much gaslighting. AI's got us not knowing what's real, what's actually truth. And kind of we're questioning everything. I mean, there's even a blatant denial. It's not even hidden. It's not even shaded. Just the denial of what we know is fact. And the Lord says the best answer for that and the best answer for everything else is wisdom. He said we're blessed when we have wisdom. Now, quick background, quick foundation for the book of Proverbs. We know it's written by Solomon. Solomon was David's son. Solomon was the king of Israel. He was wealthy. He was powerful. He had everything he needed. He had no wants whatsoever. But more importantly, he was blessed by the Lord. And God had told David, I'm not going to let you build the temple, even though that's in your heart, because you've shed a lot of blood. But I'm going to have your son, Solomon, build the temple. And then the Lord comes to Solomon and he says, I'll give you anything you want. Name it, one thing. The list is open. Choose anything you want, and I will give it to you. And Solomon chose wisdom, and that pleased the Lord immensely. And the Lord said, I'm so happy that you've chosen that. And he proceeds to give Solomon the greatest wisdom of any person that's ever lived other than Jesus Christ. And he says, not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you more on top of that. I'm going to give you all the things you didn't ask for because you asked for the right thing. Now, then Solomon comes and he writes this book of Proverbs. And he talks about many things, but all throughout the book, he talks about the value of wisdom. And here in what we know as chapter 3, he writes this. Look at verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so there'll be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you'll walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Don't be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Now let's define what he means by wisdom, because the word here in Proverbs 3:13 literally means shrewd and prudent. Not two words we use very often, right? Shrewd and prudent. So that doesn't really tell us a lot. Let's try to make it a little bit more everyday, a little bit more practical for us. So I want to give you this definition of wisdom that I believe comes from the text. Wisdom is having a full understanding of God's heart. Wisdom is having a full understanding of God's heart and his commands and his will and his leading. Wisdom is having a full understanding of God's heart, commands, will, and leading, and then living by all of those. Because it's not enough just to have the understanding and the discernment and the wisdom. We then have to live by it. And notice back in the text, the word says that that's far better than any relationship, anything you can own, any place you can go, anything you can have, anything you can do. Wisdom. That's the best thing we can have, according to Proverbs chapter 3. And this is one of those times, and it's rare in the Bible, where the Bible talks solely about what's personal, what's an inward benefit to us. It hasn't, no, really, until later, an outward manifestation. This is just about Paul Rhodes, you. How do we become joyful? How do we become content? How do we have peace? How do we have understanding? It's through wisdom. This is an encouraging passage. This is not meant to mess with our brain. And trust me, as I've studied, I've tried to kind of put this together because it seems like the other things are so much more important. But notice what he says in verse 13. This is emphasized in two verbs, and they're active verbs. He says, you need to find it, and you need to gain it. And you'll be blessed when you do. How blessed is the one who finds wisdom? That implies an intentional and diligent searching. It implies that we are craving, hungering after, going after wisdom every single day. It doesn't just happen by good intentions or by proxy. We have to seek it. And we're so massively exposed right now to information. We're barraged by it. And we can pick out some facts. We still can kind of figure out what's real and what's not. But we need discernment. So we need to find it. And then he says, you need to gain wisdom. And that also implies effort. It implies diligently studying and taking apart and actively learning from the Word and the Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith and to strengthen our understanding. And then to look at all the experiences and all the things God's taught us over the years to learn what's wise and what's right. Solomon says that has great value. He even uses the word, it's right here in verse 14, look at that. He uses the word prophet. It's not just something good like, yeah, okay, Rhodes, we should want wisdom, I'll get on that. No, he says this has huge benefits. It's better than silver or gold. Now I would think if we're walking out of church today and somebody says you can have a bag of jewels or you can have greater discernment, we'd probably go, you know, discernment's lovely, but I need the jewels. I need the money. I need to take what will help me in the short term, because we tend to think short term and not long term. But what's interesting about this passage is who's writing it, because the Lord said to Solomon, you can have anything. You want unlimited wealth? It's yours. You want all the power of the world? You want to rule the world? It's yours. I will keep my word. I'm not going to break it. I'm saying you ask for anything. But if Solomon had asked those things, it wouldn't have really pleased the Lord, right? It wouldn't have really benefited Solomon in the long term, because wealth and power are temporary. But he says, no, I'm pleased. You picked wisdom. And that is where my heart is. Now, the Lord wants us, look back at the text, he wants us to desire wisdom because he actually wants to bless us with wisdom. He knows, listen, he knows that it is far more important and far more valuable to us to have wisdom than to have more money. That's why he says at the end of verse 15, look at it, nothing you desire compares with wisdom. Now, stop and think for a second. Do you actually believe that? I mean, it's a nice spiritual concept on a Sunday morning. We can come to Proverbs 3:15 and go, wow, that's interesting. Nothing I desire compares with wisdom. But come on, Paul. Like, that's a little bit woo out there, right? I mean, wisdom is not tangible. Wisdom is not commercially usable. It's a nice spiritual concept, but come on, it's not realistic. It's not really relevant. It's not really practical. How can wisdom far surpass all the things that in my mind would seem to relieve my stress this morning? I asked at the start of the study about the sources of your stress. And my guess would be that most of us would list money, right? How many, I don't want to embarrass you, how many would list that you need more money this morning? Can you raise your hands? Yeah, most of us, right? What are you guys, other people doing? I want to talk to you. I don't know. God bless you. Very few people that I know would say, yeah, I have enough money, especially in this horrible economy. So we might be inclined to think, if I just had enough money, I'd be set. If my marriage or my relationships or my kids, if we could just get that right, oh, there'd be so much more peace in my thinking. I wouldn't be tortured when I lay down waiting for the phone calls or in anxiety with my spouse because we don't get along and don't even want to be in the same room. If I could just have that solved. Or if the health concerns would just go away, I could feel so much more calm. Every time I picked the pills, I wouldn't be stressed because I wouldn't have any more pills. And that really, come on, Paul, that would make me happy. That would bring peace to my heart. Because to be honest, I'm being very raw here. Wisdom isn't going to pay my bills. And wisdom isn't going to change my diagnosis. And wisdom's not going to make my boss nicer. Wisdom's not going to fix my marriage. I'm going to tell you this morning, that's a false narrative from the enemy. That's a lie. In terms of finances, wisdom can lead us to be good stewards of our giving, good stewards of our spending, to be wiser about how we go about it, to make smart investments. In terms of our health, wisdom can lead us to make better choices about how we live, to be more disciplined in what makes us stronger. At work, wisdom can cause us to respond with the fruit of the Spirit instead of our flesh. So when people hate the Lord or they're nasty to us, instead of being angry and hostile and getting our ire up, then we start to see, how can I minister to them? How can I pray for them? How can I show them the love of Christ even though they hate my guts? In terms of our relationships, our marriage, wisdom can change our attitude and our approach to our spouse and our family. We can be more loving and forgiving and sacrificial than we are, because what we're doing right now isn't really working, right? If we had it all figured out, then we wouldn't need this study. But how many know we need some more discernment from the Lord? I need more wisdom. I need more discernment. So even though the enemy and the flesh want us to believe that having more resources would be better, the Lord says, that's not true. Here's what's true. Knowing my mind and knowing my heart and doing my will is far better. Now, that brings us to the key question, and there are going to be a lot of questions here, and I want to take my time on this because I really want us to digest this. What would our lives be like if we really knew the mind of the Lord? What would our lives be like if we really knew the mind of the Lord? What if you knew the clear leading of the Spirit for your life? What if you had unmistakable discernment about what's right and what's best and what's pleasing to the Lord? What if you had a sharp understanding and unique discernment and power against all the spiritual forces and the spiritual realms that are all around us, attacking us? What if you could see right through that? What if you were free of worry and fear and anxiety and stress, and you were actually content in all things? What if that was the case? And what if you lived so closely to Jesus that it was like he was walking by your side every single day? That would be better than more money, right? And that's what the Lord is offering to us. And then he says, as an additional benefit of finding and gaining wisdom, I'll give you long life and riches and honor. But listen, we have to define that differently, because riches and honor are not what we would immediately think. We would think more money and more power and more attention. But in the Lord's sight, it means being more righteous and having a greater spiritual influence. It means being a godly example. It means being able to say, like Paul did, follow me as I follow Christ. How many of us could say this morning, listen, follow me because I'm on my way to Jesus. Let's just walk together. You can look at my example. This is without any pride. You can look at my example because I'm striving for Jesus. So just watch me. If you need to know how to do it, just watch me and together we'll move toward Jesus. We need to be that kind of example, and there's really no reason not to be. I know we're all scared of witnessing and all that kind of stuff, but listen, there's no reason why we can't be a spiritual example, because if we're walking with Jesus, everybody should know it. Shouldn't be a question. I don't know. What does that guy think? Boy, I see how he lives. I see how he talks. I see how angry he gets. See how he shakes his fist when he drives because people are in the left lane going 20? I know he goes to church. I know she talks about reading the Bible and she goes to a Bible study, but do they love the Lord? Can I look at that person and say, that's what it looks like to follow Jesus? Now, bring it back to wisdom. Because wisdom isn't really tangible, how then do we know we're walking in wisdom? I mean, I think we have a good sense, but look at what verse 17 says. It says, it will be shown in that our paths will be pleasant and full of peace. Notice here that the Lord doesn't use the word happy. Well, your life will then be happy and full of peace. He says, no, it'll be pleasant and full of peace. The word pleasant there means delightful. So why doesn't the Lord say happy? Because I thought that the Lord promises to fill us with joy. Well, again, our definition of what brings joy and contentment is different from the Lord's. Because the Bible says His ways are better than our ways. Can we say that together so it gets in our brain? His ways are better than our ways. Oh, but our brain says, my ways are better. If I could just have this, and I could just experience that, and if that relationship was just like that, then I'd really follow the Lord. He says, that's not how it works. You walk by faith, not by sight. My ways are better than yours. So I'm going to use unique methods to show you what true joy is. James 1 says the trials are actually valuable because they make us more complete and like Christ. Hebrews 12 says God proves His love to us by sometimes disciplining us and correcting our behavior because it's needed. Jesus says identifying with Him, being my disciple, it's not going to be easy. People are going to hate you, they're going to spit on you, they're going to persecute you, they're going to revile you because you're connected to me. So how is any of that pleasant? Because that's what it says right here in verse 17. Wisdom's ways are pleasant ways, and her paths are full of peace. The bottom line is that we need a reformatting of our thinking in terms of what's pleasant and right and best. And seeing our lives through His wisdom and gaining discernment by walking in His Spirit changes our perspective. And listen, let's not brush that off or say that's optional or that doesn't apply to me. Because whether we want to or not, every single one of us in this room this morning, everybody who's listening, watching online, needs more of a heavenly perspective than we currently have. There is not a single exception, myself included. I need more of a heavenly perspective because I think many times with the flesh. I think many times by self. I think many times by what I think is best. And in all honesty, how many need wisdom and security and confidence and peace and pleasant ways right now? Instead of fear and confusion and worry and anxiety and mental unhealthiness and a disturbed mind that's descriptive of way too many believers this morning. Unsettled, shaken, a little terrified, not sure what to do. Yeah, we're under attack from the enemy. And yeah, the world is an absolute mess right now. And yes, we're being opposed and our convictions are being undermined. And yes, we have personal issues all throughout this congregation that are not insignificant. But listen, we are promised by the Lord that we're blessed when we have His wisdom. So the world can do what it's doing. We know, we can read our Bibles, we know where it's going to end up. It's not going to get better. Newsflash, the news is not going to change, and all of a sudden everything's going to be wonderful. It's going downhill quickly. The Lord is near. And after we depart, look out. So the world's going to be a mess. That shouldn't surprise us. Our convictions are going to be opposed. That shouldn't surprise us. Jesus told us that in Matthew 5. We're going to have personal issues. Everybody has personal issues. It's not limited to Christians. Everybody's got struggles. But the Lord says, there's something valuable that I will give you that will fill you with life and give you peace and calmness. So I don't know about you, but we better pay attention to that, right? Because there's something there that the Lord's offering us that many of us currently don't have. And the answer is in verses 19 to 20, where we're reminded of the power and sufficiency of our Savior and Lord. Look at it, two verses. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. He's the Lord of all creation, right? By wisdom, He established the heavens, which are more amazing and complex and boundless than we can possibly comprehend. By the Lord's wisdom, He broke up the deep. He formed the land. Later, He would show His power over that creation and His judgment on sin and His rescue of those who trust in Him. And by wisdom of the Lord, He made the skies drip with dew. In other words, He sustains life. He keeps us going. Rain is blessing in the Bible. So He does all this. He's formed this. He's built this. He establishes. He's Lord over all of this. He has all power, sufficiency, and authority this morning. And He says, the same wisdom that I used to do all that, it's available to you. I'll give it to you. So Solomon says, look at it, verse 21, don't let this vanish from your sight. In other words, be intentional. Don't get distracted. Don't be moved by what's unimportant and what's frivolous and not of heaven. Don't be dissuaded by the enemy's distortion. Just stay focused on wisdom. And look at the promises that He gives us. And I don't mean to keep giving you lists, but look at the promises He gives us, starting in verse 22. This will bring life to your soul. Some of us need life in our soul this morning. We're walking around. No. Some life in your soul. You know Jesus Christ. You have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Wisdom will give life to your soul. You'll walk securely. You'll be upheld and guided by the Lord. He'll take you on His pleasant paths. When you do that, you won't stumble. The Word's a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. If you keep stumbling, you need to get in the Word. You won't be afraid when you lie down at night and all the thoughts and all the plans and all the worries and all the fears start to flood into your mind. Some of you weird people can fall asleep in like a half a second. I don't like you. I'm just saying that right now. How do you do that? Like, you're not even on the pill. I'm laying there. He says, your mind won't be encumbered by all that junk. You'll have peace and you'll have sleep, sweet sleep. You won't be disturbed or anxious. You won't fear the sudden onslaught of the wicked. Man, have we seen the sudden onslaught of the wicked lately, right? You won't fear it. You won't be intimidated. You'll be bothered by it. But you won't be powerless. You won't be discouraged. So how do we withstand all that? Let's try to draw this to a close. How do we withstand all that? How do we not live in fear and anxiety and stress? We'll look back at verse 26 because it says, the Lord is our confidence. Let me ask you, is that true this morning for your life? Is the Lord your confidence? Not just when we're worshiping and praising the Lord and raising our hands saying, holy, holy, worthy, worthy. No, is the Lord your confidence in every circumstance? Believe this morning, He will not let your foot get caught. Now, that doesn't apply to when we trap ourselves, right? So a lot of times we put the traps on ourselves with sins that so easily beset. And we don't listen to Philippians 4. We become anxious for everything. And we live in fear. And we get preoccupied with the wrong things. And we're thinking about ourselves all the time. And we're worried about what we can't control. He says, that's your own trap. That's not what I'm talking about. When you walk with me, I will not let you get trapped. The enemy won't grab you. He'll bother you, but he won't grab you because you're mine. And I'm going to take care of you. And there's no doubt because this is the word of the Lord. He'll guard you and he'll keep you safe. So, let's conclude. If we know that wisdom's valuable, and we believe that wisdom is better than anything, and we know that the Lord will bless us and give us power and security, then what more would we want? And then the question becomes, how do we gain wisdom? Because all the way back it said, gain wisdom. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. So, four things. Write these down. How do we gain wisdom? Please don't be distracted by how simple these are. How do we gain wisdom? Number one, seek Jesus. Now, it's easy to say, study the Word of God, right? We've heard that a million times. But we can get a little complacent about that, or that can become rote. Well, I'm going to read my three chapters today, and then I'm done. I'll read my three chapters tomorrow, and then I'm done. No, the Lord, I think, gave me a really fresh insight about this the other night, in the middle of the night, when I wasn't sleeping. And clear as day, I actually got up. I don't like getting on my phone in the middle of the night because it wakes me up even more. But I had to write this down. What if you and I studied Jesus? What if we looked at his life and his words and his actions and his decisions and his responses? Because he is the Word of God, right? John 1:1, he is the Word. So what if we really got to know him? What if we studied him so we started to think and act like him? And you say, well, I've already got the Holy Spirit and I've got the Word and I've got a renewed mind. Listen, we need to get to know Jesus. So take notes, make observations, ask questions, write ideas. How can I think and act more like Jesus? That's not to discount studying the Word. It's just saying maybe our focus needs a little bit more targeted. Lord, I need the mind of Jesus, Philippians 2. Humble, sacrificial, a bondservant. Listen, you start to pray that, if you wake up every day and say, Lord, make me humble, sacrificial, and a bondservant, I guarantee you the Lord will answer that prayer. And that alone will change us. So seek Jesus. Number two, spend more quality time in his presence. Listen, I love summer. I'm sad summer's about to end. Summer's so laid back, the days are long, we get some vacation, we get time to be outside. But not to depress us, here it comes. We're heading into fall. I love fall, I love the weather, I love everything about it. But man, things get so much busier and so much more intense. School starts, work ramps up, days get shorter because of the change in light. Sports occupy our time. Holidays define the calendar. You'll be putting up your Christmas lights before you know it. Hobby Lobby's already got Christmas stuff out. It's July. It's starting a little earlier every year. I looked at my gutters the other day. I'm like, Christmas lights, you're coming. Like three, 4 months. How will you allot your time this fall? How will you prioritize your schedule to make sure, listen, that you're finding and gaining wisdom? Because it has to be intentional, not just good intentions, right? It has to be something we set aside to do. Lord, I want to gain wisdom. Spend more quality time in his presence. Third, sanctify your heart to walk in holiness. Sanctify your heart to walk in holiness. I didn't plan on reading it, so let me take just a second to turn it. But 1 Peter 3:15, Hebrews, James, yeah, okay. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Now, the word sanctify there, I haven't given you a Greek word yet today, so you ready? The word sanctify in 1 Peter 3:15 is so awesome. It's hagiazo. Come on, say it with me. Hagiazo. Now, I'm only telling you that. I'm not trying to impress you. Here's a Greek word that none of us can pronounce. Listen, the reason hagiazo, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, is so wonderful is because it has three parts. I should have made a slide for this, but I didn't, so just write it down. Sanctify the Lord in your hearts means to consecrate. Consecrate, which means to dedicate your heart to holiness. Consecration's all throughout the Old Testament. Consecrate your heart. Second, hagiazo means to separate. So commit to holiness, separate then from what is evil and profane, think about that, in order to be able to dedicate your heart to the Lord. And then the third part, consecrate, separate, is purify. I wanted to make that purificate, but that's not a word. So purify. Purify means as you dedicate your heart to holiness, as you separate then yourself from what is evil and profane and not pleasing to the Lord, now intentionally reject and put off anything that doesn't honor the Lord. Church, sanctify your heart. Sanctify Christ as Lord, as owner, as the one in charge, as the one leading. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. Consecrate, separate, purify. You may want to write those on your mirror. Consecrate, separate, purify. So all throughout the day, we're thinking, how am I going to sanctify Christ as Lord in my heart? And then fourth, I'm a little worked up this morning, sorry. Seek Jesus, spend more quality time in His presence, sanctify your heart to walk in holiness. Fourth, shut down anything that strips you of wisdom. Oh man, this one's so hard. So much of what the world offers this morning and we willingly choose to participate in it. And Jasmine mentioned it earlier and this is a perfect example. So much of what the world offers this morning is frivolous and mind-numbing and not truth. And now it's just blatantly disrespectful to the Lord. And I want to say right now, reject it. Shut off its influence. And again, a big part of this will be how we spend our time this fall. We need to identify, and I mean this seriously, all the subtle time stealers. And this is particularly true, I have found in my own life, first thing in the morning and late at night. First thing in the morning and late at night. What do you do with that time? When you wake up, what's your first thought? Give me my phone. What happened? Who's texting me? What's going on? What's the latest Instagram post? What's happening in the world? Gotta see, gotta see, gotta see, gotta see, gotta see, gotta see, gotta see. What's stealing our time at night? Watching stuff that just doesn't help us, doesn't edify us, doesn't strengthen our faith, maybe even works against our faith. Listen, instead of putting ourselves in a position for wisdom to be hindered, why don't we choose to pursue it? The Bible says in James chapter 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, that's all of us, raise your hand. How many lack wisdom? Thank you. Come on, if you didn't raise your hand, you're not being honest. If anyone lacks wisdom, listen, ask of the Lord, I love this next phrase, and He will give generously. But you must ask in faith, nothing wavering, no doubt, trusting that if I ask the Lord for wisdom, He will give it generously. We need this so much. We need this so much. We need to understand. We need to make decisions. We need to know the Lord's leading. We need to know how to defend our faith. We need to navigate the world. We need to know how to raise our kids and our grandkids. We need to heal our marriages. So listen, I'm done. Confess your deficiency in wisdom and then trust the Lord to keep His promise and then ask believing. a prayer every one of us, Paul Rhodes, needs to pray this today. Lord, I am deficient in wisdom. I don't know what I'm doing. And I confess that, and I trust that your promise is yea and amen, that it's true, that if I ask for wisdom, you give it. So, Lord, I'm going to ask believing, and I'm not going to waver. I'm asking you to show me. And the Bible says in Proverbs 3, that will invite the Lord's blessing. And he'll change our thinking from all the stress of money and health and relationships, and he'll give us peace and contentment. That sounds good, right?